Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Take your Bible and turn with me tonight. My daddy used to say, turn with me to the book of Galatians. As he called it, Galatians. Turn to the book of Galatians tonight. Chapter number 7 tonight, Galatians chapter 7. And we're going to look at a verse here tonight, or some verses here tonight. And I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts out of the Word of God tonight. He does know what we need this evening. And you turn with us tonight in the book of Galatians. What's wrong with you people? We'll go to chapter 6. I like it. These are not the verses I'm going to deal with, but I do want to make a few comments about them as I read down through them tonight. I'll get to my text here in just a minute, and I want everybody to look at me. I got one. Everybody's in here tonight. There's no school deal going on. Nobody in the other buildings. I'm not going to preach long. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and I knew this six chapters. Bible said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm not going to deal with that verse much, but I can't pass it up by saying something about it tonight. I love this verse. I love these verses here that we're getting ready to read tonight. If you notice in this verse tonight, of course you see who he's talking to. He's talking to the brethren. He's talking to those that are saved by the grace of God. And he said, brethren, if men be overtaken in a fault. I began to think about that word again this afternoon, and if you study that word, you'll find it simply means a slip. It means error. It means sin. It also means willfully sinning. It also means fall or trespass. And the Bible says here in this verse here, if you see a brother that's like that, see a brother that's overtaken in a situation, notice what we're to do. The Bible said in this verse here, brethren, if men be overtaken in fall, ye which are spiritual, we're to restore that brother. And notice what he's saying tonight. You know, it's awful easy tonight when somebody messes up and falls and messes up. It's awful easy to push them on down, isn't it? I've been guilty of that. I'm sure you've been guilty of that also. But Bible says here in this verse here tonight, what we're to do, we're to restore that brother. Whether it's a brother or sister, whatever their situation is, I would restore them. And of course, they've done wrong. They'll ask God to forgive them, come before the church, get it taken care of. But you, which are spiritual tonight, is to do the restoring. But you know what? How sad it is in our independent movement. Most of the time in the independent movement tonight, it's the independent Baptists that push them down even further. They'll get on the internet, and they'll get on Facebook and this and that and the other and criticize them, run them down. But I want to say this to you tonight. There's none of us in this room above messing up. There's none of us in this room above falling tonight. And he says here in this verse here tonight, what we're to do, we're to restore such a one. Brethren, if men be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual. The spiritual man is the man that does the restoring. He's not the one that does criticizing. He's the one that does the restoring. And I don't know why I'm saying this, because that's not even what I'm going to preach on, but I do want to say this tonight. You can be known by how you restore, how you help people. Paul said, we ought to consider ourselves lest we fall ourselves. So in this tonight, what we're to do, the brother that's failed, whoever it is, whatever the situation is, our job is not to criticize, brother. Our job tonight is to restore such one and the spirit of meekness and fear. And that word restore there is an interesting word. It's a medical term, and I'm sure you nurses in here, you doctors in here, and you that work at the hospital understand that medical term. It is a medical term, and the word restore simply means like putting a broken bone back together. If you break your arm tonight and the bone gets moved out of the way, and sometimes they'll have set the arm. And sometimes when you set the arm or the leg, whatever it is, I've had my leg broke right here. And I know when they set a bone, they got to put it back in place. And it's a medical term. And what he simply said is this, you which are spiritual is to restore. And sometimes restoring hurts. Sometimes restoring is tough. But I want to say, like the medical term, we that say tonight, we're to restore that brother, we're to help that brother or sister, every which way it may be tonight. And notice in the verse, how we're to do it, we'll do it in the spirit of meekness. Consider not own self, lest I be tempted also. Today it may be my brother, but tomorrow it might be me. Y'all get what I just said? Today it may be the brother, but tomorrow it may be me. Consider not own self, lest I be tempted also. And again, I thought about this when I said in today. Our job is to bear that burden tonight. Notice in verse number 2. Bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's a good thing to do. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man be overtaken in a fault, verse number 3, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth him on his own self. Look at verse 7. I got to get my text. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, quite often we are real good at doing the negative side of that verse. And that is true. If you do wrong, you're going to reap what you sow. By that, you say to me, you make your bed, son, and you'll have to lay in it. And that is so true tonight. When you do wrong, you'll reap what you sow. And we need to keep that in mind every day. That's true tonight, how we will reap what we sow. That's not only true about the carnal side, but it's also true about the spiritual side. You sow right, you'll reap right. He tells you in the next verse, for he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that is so true. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You'll reap what you sow. I'll reap what I sow. And if I do good, I'll reap that. If I don't do good, I won't reap good things. That's just the law of sowing and reaping tonight. But I want you to notice in verse number 9. He says in verse number 9, for let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Boy, what a word, this next word. If. Boy, that's a big word. Do you know that? We shall reap. Look at the verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I want to say this tonight. Everybody in this room struggles with what I'm getting ready to talk about tonight. I'll talk to you a little bit tonight on this. It's a Sunday school lesson, but I don't give it to you anyhow. Go on, don't quit. They say, what are you going to talk about? Just going on, don't quit. Go on and don't quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. Anybody can quit. Doesn't take any effort to quit tonight. And he says in the verse here, and let us not be weary and well doing. And I'll say this tonight. Sometimes we struggle even in doing right. You Sunday school teacher, you struggle in even doing right. You best workers tonight, you struggle in even doing right. Choir director struggles in even doing right. And I'll say to you tonight, every child of God goes through that. And he says in the verse here tonight, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In well-doing tonight. And we all struggle with that tonight. I pray more probably for pastors now, and I pray for my pastor every day, many times a day. But I pray more for pastors now than I ever have in my life. And I don't just say that. I really mean that tonight. There is a pressure like it's never been before. And my pastor says to me quite often, God done you a favor when he took you out of the pasture. Because you don't have enough patience to pastor now. I pastor before he come along. Are you listening? And I put up with bootleggers. Amen. But anyhow, here's what I started to say. How true it is tonight. If there's ever been a day, you ought to pray for your preachers right now. And I say that every week somewhere preaching. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes doing right, we get discouraged. And sometimes in doing right, we grow weary. I thought about this, and I don't know why I thought about it, but I thought about this today. When I went to Turner's Creek, boy, God gave us a wonderful ministry there. I got to stay there 16 years. And had the Holy Ghost left me alone, I'd still be there today. But I stayed there 16 years. And when I got there, the church was doing great. I followed a wonderful man of God. And he had everything set right in order. I'm telling you, it was another preacher's dream to walk into, and I got to enjoy that 16 years. But I remember after I'd been there 7 years, I never will forget this. I'd been there 7 years, and the church was growing. Things was happening. And I was staying busy preaching every week in meetings. And back during them days, I stayed in this county right here preaching revivals. Things was going good. But during that time, that 7 years, been our 7 years, I began to get weary in the battle. It wasn't that anything was wrong. It wasn't that the church wasn't doing good. I just began to grow weary and well-doing. And I came this close. God knows how close I came to resigning that church. I'm telling you, I came real close, probably within days of resigning. There wasn't anything wrong. Nobody had done me wrong. He had the normal church trouble that you have in any church. Nobody really did anything wrong. I was weary and doing right. I was discouraged and weary and doing right. And after 7 years, I determined in my heart, by the grace of God, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to stay here till the Holy Ghost moves me. And the next 9 years, the next 8 years, was the most productive time of that church. Broke all records. Had Sunday school attendance, everything. Broke all records. And I remember one Sunday, the preacher boys and myself preached to 1,000 people. Now, there weren't 1,000 people at church. But we preached to 1,000 people one Sunday. I remember a lot of times 500-600 people every Sunday. And but here's what I started to say. Had I left when I got weary, had I left after that 7 years, that would have never happened. The retirement home is there now. It would have never been there. And and the things that happened, the mission program, that would have never been there. Not that I've done anything. I'm just telling you this tonight. Sometimes we get weary in doing right. And I'll say to you, go on, don't quit. Hey, go on and don't quit. Just go on and don't quit. When you don't feel like to thank God, just go on and don't quit tonight. Are you listening? Notice the verse. I want to dissect this verse tonight. Notice the verse number 9. Paul said, and let us not be weary. Now, don't you see who he's talking to tonight? First of all, he's talking, you see, the people. Let us. Let us. Let us not be weary. Notice the people he's talking to. And I'll just say this real quick. I don't know who or no, I do know where it comes from. It comes from the devil. I know where this statement comes from, and I know where this thinking comes from, and I know where this theology comes from. If you get the idea that you're saved, and there's never going to be any problem, everything's going to be lovey-dovey, it's always going to be a bed of roses, you are so deceived. You are so deceived. I had been saved no time. The devil told me I wasn't even saved. I hadn't been saved no time. Boy, I've been going through all them battles. And buddy, when God called me to preach, and when I started pastoring many, many years ago, are you listening to me? As somebody has deceived you and told you, if you'll get saved, no more problems. No more. Hey, they're lying to you. You better watch them. They'll steal your billfold out of your back pocket. Are you hearing what I'm saying or not? Notice the people. Let us. He's telling to save people. And I get on to say this, you know, it's not a sin to be discouraged. It's not a sin to be weary. But it's a sin to stay there. It's a sin to wallow in that. And I'll say to you now, notice in the verse tonight, go on, don't quit. Let us. He's talking to save people, those that know God. And it Paul's talking to these people right here at Glacie. They're saved. They know the Lord. And Paul is saying in this verse that you see the people. But then there's something else in this verse tonight. You don't see the people, but you see the problem. Let us not be, help me with the next word. You know, when I left a while ago, I did, Brother Jim, I didn't put them in. I don't have them in. What's that word again? Let us not, notice not only the people, but notice the problem. The problem is weary tonight. Let us not be weary tonight. And again, I'll just say this again. It's not a sin to be weary. It's not a sin to be discouraged. It is a sin to wallow in that. Because what happens when you get down and weary and discouraged, if you're not careful, guess what'll happen? Brother Robert the Boogerman will come and sit right down beside of you and exaggerate everything and magnify everything and try to get you to see how bad everything is. He is a liar. Did y'all hear what I said? I said the devil is a liar tonight. And I'll say to you now, the problem is this. And let us not be, what's that word again? Weary. Weariness are going to come. I thought about this when I sang about this afternoon. Why does a man get weary? I think sometimes we get weary because of failing health. Failing health. Don't y'all pray for me. I'm losing weight, man. I'm in bad shape. failing health. Are you listening to me? And I'm sure that happens. And by the way, I just want to say this now. I really appreciate the Lord letting me have my health. I really mean that. And while I'm on that subject, I want to thank you for praying for my wife. I mean that. I want to thank you. Now, I'm right in the middle of a message. I'm going to go on. But thank you for praying for her. But here's what I started to say to you now. Failing health will cause you to be weary tonight. And I'm sure there's some of you in this room tonight, you probably don't have the health that you one time had. You probably don't have the zeal that you one time had. Failing health will cause you to be weary. You know what else I found out? A lack of fame. You say, what? A lack of fame. You say, what are you talking about? When you don't get recognized sometimes, it'll cause you to be weary. Are you listening? When you don't get recognized, hey, you may have taught the greatest Sunday school lesson in the world, and nobody even said a word about it. I mean, they just went out the door and they said a thing about it. By the way, encouragement is a ministry. It's a ministry. And the pastor never, never strikes out. But if you ever do think he does strike out, cover him up with encouragement. If you think your Sunday school teacher ever strikes out, cover him up with encouragement. I say to you now, the lack is seen in the fame. Everybody likes to, well, you done good. You done good. Get this. I have preachers call me sometime. One told me the other day, said, if you'll let your wife come to our church and sing, I'll let you preach. Son, I take a wind out of your bubble. Are y'all hearing me? That's the truth. Are you listening? And she'll get up, sing a house down, and I'll get up, preach my gallbladder out. Everybody in the church come by. That was wonderful. That was great. Hey, are you listening? Well, I'm honest tonight. Well, like if, and by the way, you don't have to pat me on the back. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm going to preach if you say anything. If you don't say anything, I'm going to preach in you. Huh? And that's not what motivates me. That's not what keeps me going. But at the same time, and I want to say this to you now, that lack of faith. Hey, brag on your Sunday school teacher. You got the greatest Sunday school teachers in the world. You got the greatest choir in the world. You got the greatest church in the world. You got the greatest pastor in the world. You get to come to the greatest place in the world and worship God three times a week. Are you listening? Frog ain't much of a frog that won't croak on his own pond. I'm telling you now, the lack of fame sometimes. Then I thought about this. Let us not be weary. I think sometimes we get weary when we have a lack of devotion. And what I mean by that is simply this. Revelation chapter 2, if you'll study, those first three verses, the Lord brags on that church of Ephesus. He talks about the works. He talks about how they've endured. He talks about how, I mean, it was right down the line. But when you come to verse 3 and 4, guess what he says? But I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You see, the lack of devotion to the Lord. You go through the motions all you want to, but if your heart's not right with God, hello? I say you can go through all the motions you want to, but if your relationship to God's not right and your walk with God's not right, you're going to grow weary tonight. I believe sometimes people grow weary simply because the lack of devotion. I believe sometimes people grow weary sometimes because of the lack of prayer. Yeah, the lack of prayer. Are you listening? You remember what the Bible said in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1? Jesus said we ought to pray and faint not. You know what that tells me? If you don't pray, you will faint. If you don't pray, you will faint. And I will say this to you tonight, the lack of prayer so many times. Oh, my soul, are you listening? You know what prayer is? Prayer to the child of God is like fresh air to your lungs. Y'all get what I said? I said prayer to the child of God is like fresh air breathing in your lungs. And I want to tell you tonight, we grow weary sometimes. We grow weary sometimes when we don't. I know I'm preaching from experience. I'm not preaching about something I read about. I'm preaching from experience tonight. When I don't pray, I grow weary. Are you listening? Let us not be weary. Hey, go on, don't quit. Go on, don't quit. I believe sometimes we grow weary for the lack of nourishment. If you don't eat, guess what happens? You grow weary. And that always, and I want to tell you, are you listening to me? I take a day and fast, and boy, I want to tell you, by the end of that 12-hour fast or 24-hour fast, whatever it is, I'm getting weary, man. I'm getting weak. I'm getting feeble. I need some IVs hooked up to me. I'm in bed. Are you listening? And I'll say to you now, the lack of nourishment. And I'll say the lack of the Word of God. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. You want me to tell you how to keep from getting weary? Keep your nose in this book. Hello? I said, if you want to not get weary, read the Bible. It's hard to be discouraged sitting here reading that book. And I'll tell you that, listen to me, nourishment tonight, how you'll grow weary. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'll say this to you tonight. Oh my, you don't eat, you're going to get weary. You're going to grow weary. And I'll say tonight, when you don't take in the Word of God, and our devotion's not right, and our walk with God's not right, and we're going to get weary. Are you listening? Notice the verse. In this verse tonight, you see the people. In this verse tonight, you see the problem. But notice the verse again. Watch it again. Let us not be weary in well-doing. By the way, I'll say that one more time. You get weary doing right. You get weary even doing right. I'm telling you, doing right, you'll get weary. But notice this. You see the people, you see the problem. But notice the pursuit. Watch this verse. Let us not be weary in, here's the pursuit, and well-doing. The pursuit is, and well-doing. The old farmer said, just keep on plowing. Just keep on. Don't stop. Just keep on going. Don't quit. And well-doing. Just keep on doing it. And just stay by the stuff. Just stay by the stuff. No place to stop. No place to sit down. No place to back up. By the way, if you study the Bible, that Roman armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, our pastor's preached on it a number of times and did a great job dividing all that, preaching on it. I remember a year or two ago he's preaching on that. And by the way, do you know something about that armor? It does not have a back. Did y'all know that? It's got a shield. Feet shod with preparation of gospel peace, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. It's got all that. It's got all everything up front that you're going to face is right here. But if you study about that armor, there's no back in it. You know why? Because God's soldiers don't turn around. God's soldiers, that's real soldiers tonight, don't turn around. Hey, I'm telling you now, listen to me this evening. Don't quit. Don't quit. Go forward. Don't quit tonight. Hey, it's easy to quit tonight. It's easy to get your eyes on circumstance. Hey, the situation not simply that. The pursuit, keep on. Well doing. Just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. Are you listening? I preached a many and a many and a many and a many a time. And not had one move around the altar. I went to church before, and I know. No doubt in my mind, I had the message from God. And boy, I'd preach my gallbladder out just about it, and nobody would move. Hey, listen, the pursuit is this, well doing. Just keep plowing. Just keep knocking. Just keep teaching. Just keep knocking doors. Just keep running a bus ministry or van ministry. Just keep doing it. Hey, Sunday school teacher, just keep on doing it. The youth minister is getting ready to crank back up here in a few days. And I'll say you that work with young people, listen, you that work with young people, oh my soul. But I'll tell you, it's worth it tonight. It's worth it tonight. Just keep doing it. Don't quit. Just keep doing it. Hey, don't stop. Just keep doing it. I picked up the sword of the Lord. Give me that sword of the Lord. I picked up the sword of the Lord a while ago. And I was looking in here. And I was about to run. This is wonderful. This is great. This is so good. I wish y'all could see what I'm seeing. This is absolutely, here it is. This is absolutely wonderful. See that boy? See that guy? Dr. Alton Bill, Dr. Ron Comfort. Dr. Comfort is a chancellor. He's the guy that started Ambassador Baptist College many, many years ago. The first year that college was going, I took Alton Bill, a young boy at the age of these girls right here, down there and showed him that school. Alton Bill came in at Turner's Creek on one of our bus routes. His daddy was a drunk, never went to church, died that way. My mom comes some. Oh, Alton Bill, right there he is, and saw the Lord paper. He's a president of Ambassador Baptist College. There was Sunday mornings, we run that van, and didn't nobody ride. There's one little boy rode. And he kept on riding. And I'll tell you, old C.W. Plowman, Gene Thacker and them boys, I know they get discouraged. That old Dodge van, Brother Jim, they had at Turner's Creek at that time. You go down the road, and when you go around the curve, the window would go out like this. Now the other way, the window would go out like this. It was wore. It had been wore out 40 years before that, but they kept on running it. And there was days probably old Alton would be the only one on there. And they kept on running it and kept on running it. And God saved old Alton, and God called old Alton to preach. And I took him to Bible college. And today he's the president of Ambassador Baptist College and preaches all over the world, literally all over the world. Brother Matt, you know him? All over the world. And hey, keep going, don't quit. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Hey, keep on doing it, man. Just keep on doing it. You'll say it's not doing any good. I'm sure there was days that Brother C.W. thought it wasn't doing any good. I'm sure there was days that Brother Gene, I ran in the van, thought it wasn't doing any good. But I want to say to you tonight, I'm about to get happy. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, listen tonight. The pursuit. Just keep on pulling. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Don't stop. Don't stop. In this text, you see the people. You see the problem. You see the pursuit. But then you see the progress. Notice in verse number 9 again. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. Due season. The progress. Due season. Due season. Might not be time right now. But God will. And by the way, 3 months ago, was it 3 months ago? I planted 3 watermelon hills. You ought to see them now. They're wonderful. They're probably, I don't know, they're pretty big. And I counted 5 out there off those hills. You know what? In due season. And I got cantaloupes. I got 2 hills. I got some cantaloupes out there. It's probably, you know, in due season. And I need some of y'all to come and tell me when it's time to pull them. I'm looking at them, and I want to make sure they're good and ripe. And in due season, the progress is this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. You say things didn't happen the way I want them to. Maybe when the right season. In due season. And I'll tell you this tonight. You'll reap what you sow. You quit, you won't reap nothing. But if you'll keep on keeping up, I'm preaching good. Y'all look at me strange. I'm telling you now, just keep on. Don't quit, just keep on. Don't stop, just keep on. Don't quit, just go on. Just go on for the glory of God. You see the progress. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing. In due season. Hey, a baby is conceived in a mother's womb, and life begins. And life begins. But if something happens in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, or 7 months, and it comes early, that's not the right season. It comes in due season. My wife and I have a set of twins in heaven. I was born 6 months, 7 months. Probably they would have lived had it been now. I think that was 1931 they was born. But listen to this. They probably would have lived. But it wasn't due season. It wasn't the right time. And I'll tell you something tonight. The situation tonight is simply this. In due season, the progress, in due season. You say, preacher, things not happening the way I want to have. Hey, in due season. A baby born too early is dangerous. And God, listen to me, you know when the Lord come, he come at the right time. Yeah, he come at the right season, he come at the right time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, to redeem us that were under the law at the right time, due season. And I'll say this to you in closing real quick tonight. In due season, you know, I couldn't go out there and get them watermelons to start with. I had to wait, and I'm still waiting. I ain't waiting much longer. I mean, I've done about time, looked at them probably 4 times a day. And I'm getting ready to leave town again, and I don't know. There may be some watermelon picking before I leave. Are you listening? And we put them things in a thing, take them with us. We put them tomatoes and whatever you call them, plastic things. Yeah. Take some mayonnaise, praise God, some loaf bread. Eat tomato sandwiches. You can't get anything else in a motel. If you don't like tomato sandwiches, you're never going to heaven. I don't care who you are. So I just want to say this to you tonight. In due season, watch this and I'm done. You see the people, you see the problem, you see the pursuit. Well done. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Keep plowing. You see the progress in due season. But in the verse, we see the problem. Watch the verse and I'm done. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. We shall, there's a promise. Let me get the promise. There's the promise. We shall reap. Read the verse. Let us not be weary and well done, for in due season we shall reap. That's a promise. Keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. Keep on giving out tracts. Just keep on doing it. You just never know. Just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. I'm not bragging on myself. I just want to give you an illustration. Last week the pastor preached at a tent meeting down in Davidson County. This particular church where he was preaching in, I probably preached, I don't know, 7, 8 revivals are back in the 90s and early 2000s, preached out a lot. I'd been there in several years but one time, but anyhow, he was there preaching last week. Said this guy come up to him and said, you know Alan Barker? Of course, the pastor said, yes, that's my daddy. He said, I need to hear your daddy on the radio. On WWGL, 5:30 in the morning. This was back in the early 90s. Early 90s. And said, I heard your daddy preach. And said, on the radio broadcast that morning, he drove a truck. Said, on the radio broadcast that morning, he said, Preacher Barker said that he's having a revival at the Farmer Baptist Church. He said, I'm starting revival there tonight. Y'all come on to the church tonight. I'll be there for your revival all week. I told that on radio. And that guy told him the other night, said, I heard your daddy make that announcement on radio 5:30, 30-some years ago. And said, you know what? I went to church that night, and I heard him preach, and I got saved. And said, I ain't been to church since. The promise, we shall reap. We shall reap. We shall reap. You say, well, I'm not doing much reaping. Have you been sowing anything? Huh? You been doing anything to reap? You got to sow before you reap. And I want to say to you tonight, the promise is simply this tonight. And let us not be weary and well done for you. So we shall reap. Just keep on preaching. Hey, just keep on teaching. Just keep on keeping that class going. Keep on keeping that bus route going. Hey, keep that visitation going. Keep on giving out them our gospel tracts, man. It works! Are you listening? I was in Boise, Idaho. Man, I was tired. I'd give out. I'd been driving all day. And I went to the motel and give a little lady, was you with me? I had a group of preachers with me, showing them out west where start churches. And gave a little lady a tract. I said, ma'am, would you mind I share the gospel tract with you? She said, well, no. I gave her a gospel tract. Went upstairs and rested about 2 hours. Come back down. Was going to go eat supper. And when I came back down, I stopped by the desk. I said, ma'am, did you read that little gospel tract? She said, I sure did. I said, you did? She said, I did. I said, what do you think? She said, I did. I said, you did what? She said, I done what it said. I said, are you telling me you read that tract and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you? She said, that's exactly what happened. Hey, listen, the promise is we shall reap. But if you don't sow anything, you're not going to reap anything. And I just want to say this in closing now, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In well-doing, for in due season, the right time, just keep doing it, the right time, you shall reap. But notice the pearl or the danger. If we faint not. That word faint is an interesting word. It simply means to relax. Look the Greek word up when you get home. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. It's the word relax. In our King James Bible, it's translated in the Greek word is actually relax. And by the way, it's easy to do that, Bro Ted. Son, I'm telling you, sometimes when I get home, And I get in my recliner. And I reach down and get that gear stick. Hello. I pull that up. My legs goes up. My head goes back. My entire system shuts down. I mean, the world can be going to Hades. I'll be... You know what this word means? Faint simply means relax. And can I tell you this in closing night? It's easy to get in that position. It's easy to get relaxed and just get the load off and just unload the load. I have preachers tell me this all the time. Of course, they don't know what they're talking about. Boy, you got a maid. You don't have to carry the load no more. I wish you'd carry the load I carry sometime. I mean that. Are you listening? I'm telling you now, it's very the pearl or the danger is simply this. Faint not. Faint not. And that word not simply means never, never, never. Don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, just keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Just go on for the glory of God. I'm done. Look here, Brother Robert. Brother Robert is so blessed to sit on the front row. You see who that says, don't you? Lester Roloff. Look who signed it. Bobby Robinson. Bobby Robinson signed this. Lester Roloff. This is Lester Roloff saying. Bobby Robinson signed it. And I got it. Brother Bobby signed it the 10th, 25th day, 2016. Here's Brother Roloff saying. The path of man is too dark. The cross of Christ is too glorious. The heart of God is too grieved for me to quit now. Can I read that one more time? Brother Roloff's motto was, the path of man is too dark. The cross of Christ is too glorious. The heart of God is too grieved for me to quit now. Quitters are dime a dozen. Are you listening? No, Brother Bobby Robinson signed it. And he did exactly what Brother Roloff said till the day he died. I would hate to say this tonight. I would hate to think. I went to Brother Eden's viewing Monday night. My dear friend. Laying in that coffin in front of that pulpit. Some of you probably were there. Where he preached for years and years and years and years. And stayed faithful. I mean stayed faithful. I preached for him not 2-3 months ago. Stayed faithful. Almost to the day he died. Got physically where he couldn't do anything. I walked by that coffin. Looked down into that coffin and saw the house that Brother Eden lived in. See, he wasn't in there. He's somewhere else. That's just a house he lived in. I walked by there Monday night. I looked down. That will happen to me one day. And I really would hate for my grandchildren and my son, my daughter, and my great-grandchildren walk by and say, Papa quit. Papa didn't finish the race. He got weary and got tired. A lot of people do that. He got relaxed and enjoy. And by the way, there's a danger when you get old about getting relaxed. I'm serious about that. There's a danger. I wake up in the morning, Brother Robert, and this leg says to this leg, get up, move. This leg says to this leg, I got up first yesterday. It's your turn this morning. You have that problem, Brother Jim? Oh, yeah. I get weary and I get tired. I really, really do. But by the grace of God, I'd rather die right here. I'm talking about drop dead right here. Let them come get my body from the funeral home tonight. Stop. No way. Just one life. Will you come pin or so I quit preaching? There's just one life. That life will soon be passed. And all the stuff of Christ is all it's going to last. You know, it's no accident that I'm preaching tonight. It's called providence. I had no idea I was going to be preaching tonight. I was coming to hear my pastor. But you know what? Somebody in this room tonight needs this. Somebody in this room tonight maybe has got relaxed. You've got your eyes on something or somebody. Man, they've got your eyes off the main thing. Are you hearing me? I'm glad there's a bus worker. Nobody would ride the bus or ride the old Dodge van. Kept on running even if just one rode. That one today is preaching all over the world. Wonder what happened for everybody just staying there for God. Listen, don't quit. Just go on. Don't quit. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.